In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I was glad to learn from one of the children that Roger Federer finally got his medal. Has there been a bit of mixed fortunes for Switzerland this last week at the Olympics? And I wonder too, where is God in Beijing in these days? Is he to be found at the Olympics? Some people will say the Olympics are a completely secular event, nothing to do with the redemption of the world in Jesus Christ or the salvation of our souls. Except for one thing, our belief in the incarnation. Our belief that in Jesus, God entered the world in human form, lived the life of a human being, and was caught up in the political, cultural, and yes, sporting events and circumstances of the day. Although, as far as I can see, there is no explicit mention of athletics in the Gospels, they are referred to several times elsewhere in the New Testament as illustrations to points that St. Paul and others are making in teaching the early church. And these points include, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 9 and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, they include the importance of keeping to the rules. In these verses, the writers of the epistles are expanding on Jesus' teaching of the law. He said, you will remember, that he did not come to abolish the law. For Jesus, the problem was not the keeping of the law, but the way it was kept. In athletics, or indeed in any other sport, you need laws and rules for the events to take place at all. In a race, all runners have to set off at the same time. Discus throwers must throw discuses of regulation, weight and size, and so on and so forth. Without these rules, chaos would ensue, and the competition simply would not be possible. And that, in a nutshell, is Jesus' teaching about the law. It is not there to restrict, but to make things possible and to facilitate our daily living together in community. And in particular, the law is there to reveal the purposes of God. And we heard an example of that also in our first reading, in the prophecy of Isaiah, with that vision of the nations gathered together with the people of Israel and being part of that covenant, agreeing to live by the law given by God to Moses, because that is what makes the community of believers possible. A slight digression here. We know that athletes constantly try to gain an advantage with ever better kit, high-tech running shoes or different stringing to their tennis rackets and so on. The boundaries are constantly being pushed, as people do with God's law. And then in both sport and theology, people have to sit down and get into the business of defining, of setting limits. What is an allowable kind of swimming costume, for instance? How do we keep the Sabbath? Can we do A but not B? And if you're doing A, how much of A can you do? And so on and so forth. And it is when people see the law in this way, as a challenge, as a boundary to be pushed, that we see the truth of St. Paul's words, that the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. In the first letter to the Corinthians and in the letter to the Philippians, St. Paul refers to athletes' training regimes to illustrate the Christian's need to exercise self-control, to be focused on our calling. For us, the training schedule includes prayer and Bible reading, but it must also include joining together with other Christians in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Just as runners train on their own, but they also train by running in competition with each other. And just as football fans are inspired by watching the action replay of the winning goal, so we are set up for the coming week by reliving again, Sunday by Sunday, that great contest with evil and the Easter victory. Another digression. For some athletes, there is also the temptation to, shall we say, artificially help the training along. In other words, to use steroids and other banned substances. Not only is this cheating, but there is a deeper theological objection. Because you see, the doctrine of the Incarnation tells us that in Jesus, God inhabited a human body. And it follows, therefore, that our bodies are special and precious in God's sight. That we are wonderfully made, as the psalmist says. And so to start putting harmful substances into our bodies in order to win a fading laurel wreath or for some other passing pleasure, to do that is to obscure God's image in us. And as a matter of fact, these references by St. Paul and others to athletic contests must have come as quite a shock to some of their congregations. Quite possibly they would have been offended by them. The people of the Eastern Mediterranean in the first century would have been familiar with games like these because, like today, they attracted a lot of publicity and crowds flocked to them. There were stadiums and amphitheatres in most towns of any size in that part of the world. But the Jewish people in particular would have found those games highly objectionable. They were a product of the Gentile world, and they were often connected with the worship of pagan gods. And moreover, athletic kit in those days consisted of, at most, a pair of sandals and nothing else, which pious Jews considered immodest and offensive. And yet, not only St. Paul, in his letters to the Gentile Christians, but also the writer of the letter to the Hebrews of all people, could refer to these games as illustrations of Christian discipleship. They referred to those games in a positive way, that people were to take lessons from them. And again, it is an expansion of Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of God is to be found in unexpected places, amongst tax gatherers and sinners, or indeed in the faith of the Gentile woman arguing with him for the sake of her daughter, that she might be healed. And it is also a lesson for us today. Just as people then could not be in God's eyes divided into Jew and Gentile, so today the world cannot be neatly divided into sacred and secular. We cannot say that there is any form of human activity that is outside God's concern or from which he is absent. In fact, then as now, we must be prepared to be amazed and shocked at the places where God is active in his world. We must be prepared to be amazed and shocked at the people who may be examples for us, the true superheroes of the faith. And now to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed, as is most justly due, all honour, might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen.